You know, the Lord is so good, isn't he? There's no obstacle, there's no person, there's nothing that can stop us from getting to Jesus. No matter what life throws at us, there's always a way to get to him. This morning I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 5. And I'm going to read from 17 to 21. And it's from the Message. I just thought it was brilliant the way the Message translation's done it. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and religious teachers were sitting around. They had come from nearly every village in Galilee and Judea, even as far away as Jerusalem, to be there. The healing power of God was on him. Jesus, they're talking about. Some men arrived carrying a paraplegic on a stretcher. They were looking for a way to get into the house and set him before Jesus. When they couldn't find a way in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof, removed some tiles and let them down in the middle of everyone, right in front of Jesus. Impressed by their bold belief, he said, "Friend, I forgive your sins." That set the religious scholars and the Pharisees buzzing. Who does he think he is? That's blasphemous talk. God and only God can forgive sin. And Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking and said, "Why all this gossipy whispering? What is simpler to say, I forgive your sins, or to say, get up and start walking? Well, just so it's clear that I'm the Son of Man, and I'm authorized to do either or both," he spoke directly to the paraplegic, "get up, take your bedroll, and go home." Without a moment's hesitation, he did it. He got up, took his blanket, and left for home, giving glory to God all the way. The people rubbed their eyes, stunned, and they also gave glory to God. Awestruck, they said, "We've never seen anything like that before." I just love how Jesus is like, what's all the gossip for? Like, just ask if you have an issue. So here Jesus is one day, he's preaching, teaching again, doing what he's doing all the time, and a large crowd was around him, which was always happening. There was always large crowds around him. And among that crowd was the Pharisees and the religious teachers. And the word Pharisee means separated one. So these guys actually separated themselves from anything that was unholy. And that included people. Because if they were sinners, well, then they were unholy. So the Pharisees and the religious, they focused on the law of Moses. And they believed that God only loved those who followed the law. So they wouldn't sit, they wouldn't eat, they wouldn't fellowship with the everyday person. Because they were seen as unholy. And they believed that anyone who was unholy was separated from God. So why would they sit with them? They just thought everybody was sinners who God didn't want to be close to. And they seen themselves above others and kept themselves away from them. So some of the Pharisees and some of the religious teachers had travelled a long distance on this day. The scripture said that they came from many places to come and hear Jesus. But their motive wasn't to come and hear and learn from him and take example from him. Their motive was to trap him and to discredit Jesus in front of the people. They came ready to ridicule him. They came there listening with critical hearts, ready to twist and question every single thing that Jesus did and said. So on this occasion, Jesus was in a house where most scriptures we read is on the lake or he's out in the open. But on this occasion he's in a house, and we've just read that the guys came to the house, so we know he was indoors. And they brought a guy on a stretcher. Now maybe the guy is, it was one of their brothers on the stretcher. Maybe it was a father or an uncle, or maybe it was just a friend. We don't actually know who he was to them. What we do know is that they loved him. They loved him enough to give him the opportunity to come before Jesus. And maybe they were just all sitting together in the town and one of them heard, your man Jesus that does all the healing, well, he's in a house down the road. Or maybe they said, maybe he's in a house in the next village up. Come on, we go and see him. Come on, we go and we tell him about him on the stretcher. Come on, we go and ask, what can we do? Or we'll ask him, will you come and heal our friend? And maybe the guy on the stretcher looks at them and thinks, but he doesn't say it out loud, but he's thinking in his head, oh, please don't leave me behind. Like, I want to go with you. But he won't say to them, I want to come with you. Because he knows it's going to be a tremendous struggle for them to get him there, because he can't walk. And if he's in the next town, how are they going to get him to Jesus? So he just sits there thinking, I'll just have to wait till they come back. And the guys were probably getting ready to go, and one of them looks at him and then had compassion and thinks and says, look, we can't just leave him behind. We can't just go and ask Jesus to do something for him and not bring him to Jesus. We have to bring him. We have to do what's right. So they begin to think, what will we do? How will we get him there? So they think, let's just make the bed into a stretcher. Let's get rope and branches and tie it around his mat and we'll carry him. And we'll put him on it and we'll carry him to Jesus. Why should he have to wait for Jesus to come by? Why should he miss out on a chance of getting to see who Jesus is? Why should he have to miss out on his life being changed? So they make up the stretcher, they put him on it, and they carry him to the house. Now, we don't actually know how long it took them to get to the house. We don't know what was next door, the next village, the next town. We don't know. We don't know if he lived locally or miles away. But what we do know is they were not willing to give up on their friends.
Amen.
And as they were walking along, they probably had people saying, where are you going, carrying your man? Like, what are you up to? And they're all saying, oh, we're bringing him to see Jesus because he's down in that house and we're bringing him down there. They're probably all saying, like, you must have had your Weetabix carrying him down the road. And I guarantee they all said, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. So they get into the house. It's jam-packed. It's wall-to-wall of crowds of people. People sitting on each other's laps, maybe. Probably people sitting on the shoulders. And the more the people got in and sat on each other's shoulders, the more people would squeeze into the house. And outside the house was just as full as the inside. Maybe there was kids running around. Maybe there was dogs and cats and animals running around. But the crowd was huge that you couldn't even see where the front door was. And the guys think, oh, what are we going to do now? There's no way of getting inside this house. There's no way we're going to get to this, in through this crowd. We can't even see where the front door is. They probably put the stretcher down, take a breather, have a little rest and think, okay, what will we do? We've got him here. Now what are we going to do? Maybe one of them says, we'll just sit here. And when Jesus is finished, we'll catch him on the way out. And we'll say, here, will you come over and heal him? But that's going to be a nightmare because look at the crowd. He's not going to see us. And he definitely won't see him lying on the ground. People will be falling over him and tripping up over him. There's no way Jesus is going to see him. We have to come up with another way. So they decide on what will they do. And then one of them has a suddenly moment. You know, one of them moments when suddenly the light switch goes on. Suddenly this great idea comes into your mind. And suddenly you have the answer to the solution. Let's climb up on top of the roof. We'll rip the roof off and we'll lower him down in front of Jesus. And the rest of them, what? Are you mad? Like, how are we going to get him up there? Let's just do it. We'll get him up. So they do it between them. They begin to hoist them up. Half of them on top of the roof, half of them on the bottom. They're all pulling, they're all pushing, holding them, tying them to us so he doesn't fall off. And they get him up. They're like, we won't be in anybody's way if we get him up on top of the roof. We just rip it off. You see, these friends were determined to get their friends to the feet of Jesus. And they must have had such strong faith to believe that Jesus was going to heal them. That he was going to make him walk again. Like, otherwise, why had they have carried him all that way? And it would have crossed their minds, if Jesus doesn't heal him, how are we going to get him back up? How do we get him back from the ground, back up to the roof and back out? So their faith must have been, no, he's definitely going to be healed. He's going to be healed, so we're going to have to do this. And the faith that they had in Jesus is what motivated them. See, they believed that a miracle was about to take place. You see, their faith was so strong that nothing, there was no obstacle going to get in their way. And faith is believing in the unseen. So they were seeing it before they actually seen it. Faith is an act or an affirmation that brings truth into the situation. We bring him before Jesus and the healing will happen. Faith is hearing with your heart. It's blocking your ears. It's blocking all the thoughts and the questions that's going on in your mind, and it's known in your heart. this is going to happen. This is going to happen. You see, these guys are the type of friends that we all need.
Yeah.
Would you agree? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
These are the friends that we need that will carry us when we're hurt. Friends that will bring us to Jesus when we can't get there on our own. Friends that will lift us up when we're feeling down. Friends that will tell us out straight, get out of the pit. And not friends that get into the pit and say, poor you, isn't life awful? We don't want them friends. We need friends with the faith to say, get up. Get up out of that pit because there's a way out. They are the friends that all of us need. But more importantly, they are the friends that we should be. They are the friends that we need to be. Pulling other people up, stretching out a helping hand and not an accusing finger. You know, in Bluebell a few weeks ago, Noel spoke, he probably spoke here as well, he spoke about bucket fillers. Are you a bucket filler or a bucket emptier? And these guys were definitely bucket fillers because they were filling their friend with hope. They were filling them with belief. They were filling them trust in Jesus. They were pouring in. It's going to happen. You're going to get your miracle. This is going to happen. Imagine the scene inside the house when they lowered him down. Like, imagine the reaction of the owner of the house. Imagine the reaction from the people all sitting in the house. The reaction from the Pharisees and the religious teachers. Imagine the reaction from the guy actually on the stretcher. And then the reaction of Jesus. So the owner of the house, I'd say he was furious. I'd say he was screaming blue water. Look at me roof! I haven't even got a roof! You're going to pay for that! I can imagine him losing it with them. The people probably sitting there, half of them probably laughing, and the other half in shock. I don't believe they actually done that. I don't believe they actually ripped your man's roof off. Maybe some of them even began to get angry because they interrupted what Jesus was saying. They interrupted them listening to the teaching of Jesus. Maybe they got angry for butting in and trying to get in front. But can I tell you that Jesus will never get interrupted by you. He'll never be angry. He never got angry or annoyed for you coming to him, no matter what way you come from, whether you come through in the quiet place of worship or whether you come through ripping through the roof. He will never feel interrupted or disturbed by you. Imagine the reaction of the Pharisees, the religious teachers, fuming at these men for putting their faith in this who they thought was a false prophet, who they thought was a menace to society. This was their people putting their faith and trust in this guy who they were there to trap. They would have been furious. The guy on the stretcher, imagine him lying there thinking, well, all eyes on me, just lying there, he can't move. So if a riot breaks out, he's like, oh, that's it now, I'm done for. If a riot breaks out, I'm done for. If Jesus gets annoyed and tells me to get out, what do? I can't get up. But then the reaction of Jesus. He looks at the guy on the stretcher and he knows that this guy is feeling vulnerable. He's feeling scared. He's feeling emotional. He's feeling embarrassed. Maybe even fearful. And then he looks up at the guy who's up at the roof. And they're probably looking in with half a smile and half a fear. We really believe in you, Jesus. And Jesus looks back at the guy. And when he looks up at the guys up on the roof, all he sees is their love. That's what he sees. He sees the love that they had for their friend and the faith that they had to believe that Jesus could perform a miracle for them. He looks back down at the guy in the stretcher. And impressed by his friends, he said, friend, I forgive you your sins. It echoes in the room. I forgive you your sins. I forgive you your sins. I forgive you your sins. Maybe a quietness or a hush came over the room. And the friends thinking, what? Like, we brought him here that he could walk. We don't want him forgiven. We just want him to walk. Everybody looking at the guy lying there, knowing he's a cripple, knowing this is what he wants. Why is Jesus saying, I forgive you your sins? Why is he not just saying, I'm going to heal your legs? You see, when we come to Jesus for healing, the first and most important thing is that our hearts and our souls are healed.
Amen.
You see, salvation and forgiveness coming from Jesus is crucial for us to gain entrance into the garden.
Amen.
Nate just spoke about it. You see, that's why we do altar calls. That's why when we're praying with people, we say, do you know who Jesus is? Would you like to know him? Would you like to invite him in? You see, Jesus came to do the will of the Father, that all men, women, children, the whole lot, will be forgiven and given access back into the Father. So by saying your sins were forgiven, he was saying you're free. And I accept you. I love you, and you're now adopted into my family. You're now a citizen of heaven. See, Jesus knew that this guy wanted his legs healed. He knew that his friends wanted his legs healed. But what good is it to have his legs healed and not his heart and his soul? Because if only his legs got healed, yet they would be walking, but they could very well walk him into hell and not walk him into the kingdom. So by healing the heart and the soul, by saying, I forgive your sins, that's healed. So he can walk into the kingdom. You see, he cares about every aspect of our lives, our physical and our spiritual. Jesus forgives him. And then he says, pick up your stretcher and go. You see, the legs were healed. The legs were healed. And when Jesus heals, he doesn't just heal part of us or a little bit of us. He fixes all of us. He seals up all the cracks, all the broken parts in our hearts. He seals everything. So our whole body is healed. In verse 24 of that scripture, he said to the paraplegic, get up, take your bedroll and go home. Without a moment's hesitation, he did it. He got up, took his blanket and left for home, giving glory to God all the way. You see, he said immediately, without hesitation, without question, without fear, he got up. Jesus said, get up. He got up. He walked and he gave glory to God all the way home, which means he was telling his story all the way home. I was the cripple. I was the guy on the stretcher, and Jesus healed my legs. I was the sinner, and Jesus forgave me. He gave me a new life. You see, the love and the hope and the forgiveness that Jesus poured into him, he was now pouring out onto others as he was making his way back home, shouting now all the glory to God. And for me, in this scripture, yes, Jesus is absolutely amazing. Like, he's loving, he's forgiving, he's caring, he's compassionate, he's everything. The guy in the stretcher just brings me so much joy, reading about him. But the friends, see, the friends are my heroes in this story. You see, the friends carried their friend. They weren't leaving him behind. They didn't give up on him because things were rough. They didn't give up on him because they had their own hurts or their own issues going on. They didn't think, he's going to slow us down. He can't walk. He'll never keep up with us. Just leave him there. You see, they fought for him. They had a vision. They had a plan. Get him to Jesus. They served him. They carried him when he couldn't walk. Nothing was going to get in their way. No obstacle would overcome it. He can't walk. Let's make a stretcher. He needs healing. Let's bring him to Jesus. We can't get into the house. Let's rip off the roof. You see, these guys were doers. They weren't just hearers. And sometimes we just come to service and we sing nice songs and we listen to somebody talk for a little while and we go home and we do the same thing week after week after week. But Monday to Saturday, Jesus doesn't come into the picture at all. But see, these guys were different. These guys became fighters because they were fighting for their friends. They were fighting for the ones who couldn't fight anymore. They became carriers. For those that couldn't walk, they carried them. They had a plan. If he can't get to Jesus, we're going to get him to Jesus. You see, we're not called to stay within the four walls of the room. We're called to rip off roofs. We're called to be a hospital for the sick, the lost, the broken. And we're called to send them back out so they bring more in. Not only send them out, but to go with them, to nurture them, to encourage them, to teach them, to be examples to them, to lead them, to love them, forgive them, and pray with them. You see, it's not about my little home church in Talla and your little home church in Bray. It's about us as a church.
Amen.
You see, it's about all of us together. We're not meant to be in a little holy huddle, sticking to one another, little clicks going on in that corner and that corner, all like sticky tape. We're called to be fire starters.
Yes,
we're called to fire balls of faith and hope and love into our family, into our communities, into our schools, into our hospitals and prisons. And how do we do it? By ripping off the roof.
Yeah.
And if we can't do it physically, we do it spiritually. You see, Jesus told us in Matthew 28, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. See, our attitude shouldn't be, well, I go to church. Our attitude should be, we are the church.
Amen.
It's not about a building, and lockdown showed us that. We couldn't have church service in the building anymore because of lockdown. We took it outside. We had it in a car park. It's not about the building. We are the church. It's about us, the church, taking ourselves to the outside world and bringing them back into Jesus. You see, we're called to love others, to serve others, to help others, to fight for others, and to have compassion and grace for others. Jesus said in Mark 10, I have come to serve and not to be served. And then he said in John 13, so if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do, just as I have done for you. You see, what if these guys just thought about themselves? What if they didn't care about the guy on the stretcher? What if they just thought, yeah, he will slow us down, just leave him there. And if Jesus passes by, well then, we'll hope for the best. The guy would have been left there, lying on the stretcher, no faith, probably no family, no one loving him, no one showing any kind of kindness to him, and maybe he would have been left there to die. And I know the scripture talks about the man who was paralyzed, or a paraplegic, or a crippled man, whatever translation you read, it gives you all these different words. But you see, the real paralyzed and the real crippled man in this story wasn't actually the guy on the stretcher. It was the Pharisees and the religious people. See, they were crippled. They were paralyzed in their religious ways, in their rules and regulations that they couldn't move forward. They were paralyzed and crippled in their blindness that they couldn't actually see, or they didn't want to see what was actually happening in front of their very eyes. They had no room for growth, no room for change, no room for healing to take place. Let's not be one of these. Let's come before Jesus. If we have to get in by the roof, we get in that way. If you need help by getting to him, ask someone to help you. That's what the church is here for. If you see someone struggling, be like these guys and serve them. Make a stretcher for them and get them to Jesus, whatever way it takes. When you say, oh, I can't do that, I wouldn't know what to do, I wouldn't know what to say to them, I wouldn't even know how to pray with them, I wouldn't even know what to do, how do I even tell them about Jesus? You know, there's a study that we've done in the home pastors groups called the Saturate Field Guide. And I took this quote out of it. It said, you, the unimpressive and average Jesus follower, have been entrusted by God with his mission of saturating the world with his glory through the everyday stuff of life. You see, us, the unimpressive, average person, we've been entrusted by God to go out and saturate the world with his glory. You see, we can do it, because we don't do it on our own. See, his grace is sufficient. He'll fill us up so we can pour it out. He'll strengthen us so we can pull somebody up. Rip off the roof for yourself. You need healing, you need freedom or forgiveness or more love, grace, whatever it is you need, rip off the roof. Rip off the roof for your family, for your community, your workplace, the gym you train in, the school you go to. If you drop your kids to the school, rip off the roof. Spiritually, rip off the roof and bring them people before Jesus. You see, Jesus came in love. And he healed us in love. He forgave us in love. And these guys ripped off the roof in love. They didn't do it out of any badness. See, Jesus will never be angry. He'll never be offended. He'll never feel like you've interrupted him. He'll never feel like you've disturbed him by ripping off a roof to get to him. You see, his response will be the same. I forgive your sins. Which means I love you. Which means you're forgiven. You're accepted. Which means pick up your mat and walk. You're healed. Whatever we need, Jesus is in the room. Whatever it is that we need today, Jesus is in the room. He's here.
Amen.
Can we just stand, please? And can we just take this opportunity? If you need something from Jesus today, and you feel like there's too many crowds around you, this is the time to get up on the roof and rip off them tiles and lower yourself down. Or if you have a family member who's struggling, or a neighbour, or whoever the Lord puts on your heart right now, get up onto the roof, rip off the tiles, and imagine yourself laying them down before the feet of Jesus. You see, he's here. And he's waiting. And all we have to do is ask him, Lord, will you heal? Lord, will you touch? Lord, will you forgive? And his answer will always be yes.
Amen.
Always. It will always be yes. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what, we can get to your feet, Lord. If we have to squeeze through the crowd, or climb in a window, or rip off a roof, that we make our way to you, Lord. And Father, we just pray, oh God, that our hearts, Lord, wouldn't be like the paraplegic, that our hearts wouldn't be hardened, that we would say there's no more room for you. But Father, we would open our hearts, Lord, and say we will make room for you, Lord. That, Father, our eyes would see exactly what's going on in front of us, oh God. And Father, just like this guy, oh God, that we would just sing of your glory. We would just be a testimony of who you are, Lord, of your greatness. Giving glory to you, Lord. Giving glory to you, Father. We just bless you right now, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray, Father, you'd come and you would touch hearts this morning. Touch hearts this morning, oh God. You know every person in this room. And you know their needs, oh God. You know their wants and their desires. And I just ask, Lord, as we lay before your feet, Father, you would just touch right now, oh God. A healing would take place, oh God. Right now, oh God. Needs would be met, oh God. We bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word, oh God. We thank you for your church, oh God. Thank you for every family represented here this morning, oh God. And we just release your blessing, oh God, upon every family represented here this morning, oh God. And we just send you out in the name of Jesus. That the Lord will bless you and keep you this week. And that he will cause his face to shine upon you. And he will bless you with shalom peace. Thank you, Jesus.